بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began Bab at-Tawbah, the chapter of at-Tawbah, the chapter of repentance. And by way of introduction, in the previous lesson we mentioned firstly the meaning of at-Tawbah. And linguistically, the word Tawbah, it means ar-ruju', to return. And the Islamic meaning or the Shari'i meaning of at-Tawbah is ar-ruju' min al-ma'asiyah ila ta'ah, is for a person to return back from disobedience to obedience. From a person to turn back from disobeying Allah to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also mentioned that if a person delays repenting after a sin, this in of itself is a sin. And finally, we spoke about the importance of remaining in a complete balance between fearing the punishment of Allah, however, at the same time, having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a person should not fall into either of those two extremes. So we should not be like those people upon whom the fear of Allah is greater than they hope in the mercy of Allah, and neither those people who go to the other side of hoping in the mercy of Allah, but they do not fear His punishment, and therefore they become complacent. So a Muslim remains in moderation between both of these matters. Because Allah described Himself, He said, غَافِرِ الذَّمْ, Allah is the forgiver of sins. وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ, and the acceptor of repentance. شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ, and He is severe in His punishment. And therefore the Muslim has to remain in complete balance between fearing Allah, so you stay away from the sins, and having hope in the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, so that you never become discontent or you never become despondent and lose hope of forgiveness. And then after this, the author, Al-Imam An-Nawawi Rahimahullah, he mentioned a beneficial introduction before he started mentioning the hadith. And in this introduction, he mentioned the different types of sins and also the conditions for repentance to be accepted. Because not every tawbah is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not every form of repentance is accepted by Allah. The tawbah, the repentance which is accepted by Allah, is the repentance which fulfills its conditions. And so the author, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, he mentioned the types of sinning, the types of disobedience, and he mentioned the conditions for a person's tawbah to be accepted by Allah subhanahu. And broadly speaking, there are two types of sins. There is a sin between a person and between his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second type of sin is between the people. So the first sin is when a person disobeys Allah or violates one of the rights of Allah subhanahu. And the only one who is harmed by this sin is the person himself, the one who is sinning or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of sin is when a person violates the right of another person. And so, who is being harmed? Number one, the person whose right was violated, no doubt he is being harmed. And also the one who is sinning is harming himself, because there is a recompense for this sin. And the author said, فَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةُ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And if the disobedience is between a person and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So firstly, he speaks about the first type of sin, which is a violation of one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that if the sin is between a person and between Allah, فَلَهَا ثَلَاثَةُ شُرُوط, then it has three conditions. Meaning for this type of sin, there are three conditions which have to be fulfilled in order for your repentance to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَدُهَا, the first of the three conditions is أَنْ يُقْلَى عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, that a person has to stop doing the sin. وَثَانِي, and the second condition, أَنْ يَنْدَمَ عَلَى فِعْلِي, that a person is apologetic over committing the sin. وَثَالِث, and then the third condition is أَنْ يَعْزِمَ أَلَّا يَعُودَ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا, that a person makes a firm determination that he will never go back to that action, never return back to that sin. The author said, فَإِنْ فُقِدَ أَحَدُ الثَّلَاثَ لَمْ تَصِحْ تَوْبَتُهُ, and if one of these three conditions are missing or they are not fulfilled, the tawbah, the repentance, is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this passage, the author, he mentioned the first type of sin and then the conditions in order for a person to repent from this sin. The first type of sin is that which occurs between a person and between Allah, meaning a person violates one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for the tawbah to be accepted, three conditions have to be fulfilled. One of the conditions is that a person has to have a nadam. And the meaning of a nadam is sorrow or regret. That a person has to feel inside him apologetic in front of Allah for doing this sin. Because this feeling of sorrow and regret, this is what indicates whether a person is truly repenting or not. So if a person falls into a sin, disobeys Allah, and then is proud of his disobedience, unhappy with his sinning, even if that person says a tawbah 100 times, there is no benefit to his tawbah because he still remains happy and proud over his sin. So a person being regretful and sorrow and feeling broken in front of Allah for doing the sin and feeling truly apologetic to Allah for doing the sin, this is the first condition. And this indicates a sincere intention and this indicates a sincere repentance. And then the second condition is al-azm. And al-azm is a strong determination that a person will not go back to that sin. So if a person sins and then repents to Allah, but he still has inside him the intention to perform the sin again and again and again, there's no benefit to that person's repentance, even if a person makes the repentance 100 times. So that repentance is only valid and only beneficial if he or she makes a firm determination that they will not go back to their sin, they will not perform their sin again. And then the third condition that the author mentioned is al-iqla'. And the meaning of al-iqla' is that the person stops doing the sin immediately. So for example, if a person's disobedience of Allah is not fulfilling an obligation, how is the tawbah performed? By fulfilling the obligation. So firstly, a person has to be sorrow and regretful that he did not fulfill the obligation. And then he has to make a firm determination that from now on, I will fulfill that obligation. And then thirdly, you have to stop that sin. And in this case, i.e. you have to stop missing the obligation, i.e. you have to fulfill the obligation. So for example, a person does not care about giving zakah. And a zakah is an obligation upon every single Muslim when the various conditions are fulfilled. So what is al-iqla'? That you give the zakah. You give the zakah which is owed from you. Or if a person is deficient in his obedience to his parents, a person is disobedient and disrespectful and rude to his or her parents, al-iqla' means you have to cease from that sin. Meaning, from now on, obey your parents and make a tawbah. Or, for example, a person is bad to his or her relatives, cuts the ties of kinship, is always quarreling with family members. This is disobedience to Allah. How does a person repent? Firstly, stop the sin. So, connect with your relatives and make amends with your relatives. And make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the opposite side, if a person's disobedience is committing something which is haram, then iqla', it means stop doing the haram action. And it has to be stopped immediately. So for example, if a person deals in interest, gives and takes interest, gives loans upon interest or borrows loans with interest, or for example, a person sells alcohol, or a person smokes cigarettes, there's no benefit in a person making tawbah, and yet the person is continuing smoking, or drinking alcohol, or selling alcohol, or buying alcohol, and so on and so forth. So that tawbah, that repentance, it is only beneficial if the person first ceases doing the action, doing the haram, and makes tawbah. And also, if a person's sin is cheating people, deceiving them, harming them, being treacherous, not paying wages to the workers, for example, all of this is a sin. The condition is that you have to cease this haram action. So pay the wages and be truthful and honest with the people in how you deal with them. And then you make a tawbah. So these three conditions have to be fulfilled in order for a tawbah to be accepted. Firstly, a nadam, and this is being apologetic and sorrowful and having regret inside you for doing the action. And this is an indicator that you are repenting from this sin. Secondly, al-azam, that you have a strong determination, you will never go back to the sin. And then thirdly, al-iqla', that you cease to do that sin. And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَ أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And those people who commit a fahisha, an immoral action, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they wrong themselves, i.e. by sinning against Allah. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, and then they remember Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and then they seek forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and who forgives the sins except Allah. And then Allah said, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they do not continue in that which they are doing. And they know, meaning they stop the sin which they are doing, and they remember Allah, and they are regretful, and they seek forgiveness for their sins. When these conditions are fulfilled, then Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, that those people who fulfills these conditions, for them is the forgiveness from their Lord. And it's an important point. Many people ask a question, and that is that if a person made tawbah, if a person repented to Allah from a particular sin, and he or she was truthful in that repentance, and then after a month or after a few months, the person fell into the same sin, is the initial repentance invalid? And what should a person do? Or if a person knows that they are going to fall into the same sin again, does that mean they do not seek forgiveness and they do not repent from their sins? And the answer is that the condition which we mentioned is al-azm, a determination. Meaning at the time of repenting from your sins, stop performing that particular sin and make a determination which is truthful that you are never going to commit that sin again. However, if a person later on ends up falling into the sin again, then you make tawbah again. And you renew your intention. And you renew your determination. And if you fall into the sin again, then you make repentance again. And each time you make a firm determination that you will never fall into the sin again. And also that you take the various safeguards and the various measures to stop you from falling into that sin. So if, for example, your friends and your company are a reason for you committing that sin, then you take the measures and you distance yourself from those people and you bring yourself close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So notice from at-tawbah that at-tawbah connected to it is something in the past and something in the present and something in the future. These three matters are connected to at-tawbah. Something in the past, something in the present and something in the future. As for the past, meaning you are regretful and apologetic and sorrowful over your past sin. As for the present, that you cease and stop committing that sin. And as for the future, that you have a strong determination, a sincere determination to never commit that sin again. And as I mentioned, if you do become weak and shaitan entices you into that sin again, then you make tawbah again. And if you return to it, then you return to it. فَإِنْ عَادَ عَادَ. And if you go back to it, then go back to it. Meaning, if you go back to sinning, then go back to the repentance and renew the determination and fulfill these conditions. There's also a fourth condition which the author, rahimahullah, did not mention. And the fourth condition is that the tawbah which you make, it has to be in the time in which Allah accepts a tawbah. So there are two times in which Allah will not accept tawbah from a person. If a person exceeds this time, and then even if he makes tawbah, the tawbah, the repentance is not accepted from Allah. The first time is when a person is so close to death that he's taking his last breaths and the soul reaches the throat. In this situation, tawbah is not accepted. Like the example of Fir'aun. When Fir'aun followed Musa alayhi salam and the believers into the sea, and the sea parted, and the story is known by all. And when he saw the waves of the sea were about to crash down on him, and that there was no escape, and now that death was certain, and he was in the last moments of his life, he said, "Inni tubtul an." Now I seek forgiveness from Allah. Now I repent to Allah. Or he said, "Now I believe in Allah." And his repentance was not accepted. So tawbah is only accepted if a person makes tawbah whilst they are alive. As for the last moments of life when death is coming and when the soul reaches the throat, may Allah protect us and pardon us, then tawbah is not accepted. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And tawbah is not for those people who do sins. حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَّمُ الْمَوْتِ. Until when death comes to one of them. قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. And then the person says, "Verily I repent now." Tawbah is only accepted before the last moment of a person's life. And then the second time is when the sun rises from the west. So the sun rises from the east and sets in the west. One of the conditions or one of the indicators of Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah is that the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. Or the sun will rise from the west. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةَ حَتَّى تَطْعِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. That tawbah will not stop until the sun rises from the west. Meaning when Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, and that sign is seen by all, and now they know for certain that Yawm al-Qiyamah is coming, then Tawbah is of no benefit to a person. So this was with regards to the first type of sin and disobedience, and that is when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the author said, وَإِن كَانَتِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِآدَمِيٍّ فَشُرُوطُهَا أَرْبَعٍ. And if the sin of a person involves another human, Muslim or non-Muslim, any other human, if the sin of a person is violating the rights of another human being, any right, and regardless of who the person is, then there are four conditions. The first three conditions which we mentioned, and that is an-nadam, sincerely being apologetic and regretful to Allah. Secondly, al-iqla', to stop doing that sin. Thirdly, al-azam, a strong determination to never do that sin again. And now there is a fourth condition. And the fourth condition, he said, وَأَنْ يَبْرَى مِنْ حَقِّ صَاحِبِهَا, that a person has to repay the right which he violated. So whatever right you took from that person, you have to repay that right. If a person, for example, stole money from another person, now this, no doubt, it is a sin, and there's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it enough for a person to make a sincere repentance and seek forgiveness from Allah only? No, it is not sufficient. Because the right of that person, it still remains unfulfilled. So you may seek repentance from Allah, but what about the right of that person? Why should that person lose out on his right? And therefore this fourth condition now applies. That yes, you have to make tawbah to Allah and make istighfar and be regretful and sorrowful in front of Allah, but at the same time, you have to fulfill the right of that person. And you fulfill the right of that person in any way in which you can fulfill the right of that person. Some people, they ask that if I violated the right of another person, do I have to inform that person? So for example, if a person took wealth or stole wealth from another person, do they have to both return the wealth and inform them that they had stolen? Or is it sufficient for them to merely return the wealth in any way which they can? Meaning anonymously return that wealth without telling them that they had stolen. With regards to a sin between a person and between Allah, it is not allowed for a person to inform others about that sin. So if your sin is private between you and between Allah, and it has not harmed anybody else, then it is not allowed for a person to speak about the sin. Rather, Allah has concealed that sin from you, so seek forgiveness from Allah, and Allah will forgive you. وَمَنْ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever seeks repentance, Allah accepts that person's repentance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كُلَّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَى إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ. All of my ummah will be pardoned and forgiven except those who announce and proclaim their sins. Meaning somebody performs a sin and only Allah knows of this sin. It is between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead of repenting to Allah secretly and concealing the sin, that person goes around and tells the people that on Saturday I did this and this, and on Sunday I met with such and such woman, and on this day I listened to this, and so on and so forth. So a private sin, which is between you and Allah, the first sin which we mentioned, it is kept private. The second type of sin is when you have violated another person's right. Do you have to inform that person as well as fulfilling the right of that person? The ulama, they said it depends. If that person is aware that you are the one who has violated their right, then you should inform them and apologize to them and repay the right. If, however, the person is unaware that it was you who violated their right, then it is sufficient for you to repay the right and you do not have to inform them. Because in this situation, if you did inform them, it will cause a greater harm. And that is that it will cause greater animosity and more problems. So in this situation, as long as the person does not know who violated the right, it is sufficient to fulfill the right or repay the right. However, if you know that that person, if you went and you apologized and you admitted your mistake in front of him, you admitted your sin in front of him or her, that she will or he or she will forgive you and accept your apology, and maybe your relationship will be strengthened, then it is okay for you to inform that person. So, for example, if a person violated the right of another person by taking something from their property or taking their wealth, then how do you fulfill that right? You have to give the wealth back to them. If that person has passed away and you still have the wealth, then it is given to the heirs of that person. Those people who inherit from his wealth, it is given to them. If, for example, you hit another person, a Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah mentions that if you physically abused or physically violated or physically you were violent towards another person, then repaying the right means that you allow that person to hit you like you hit them. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah mentions that if, for example, you hit somebody on their back, then you allow that person to hit you on your back. And if you hit them, for example, on their head, then you allow the person to hit you on your head. And this is the condition of a tawbah. If you were backbiting against another person, the author, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he said, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ غِيبَةً اِسْتَحَلَّهُ مِنْهُ. And if it was backbiting, then you have to apologize to that person for backbiting. So that person forgives you from the backbiting. Again, a Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentions that if that person was aware that you were backbiting him, then yes, you should go and apologize to that person and seek forgiveness from Allah on behalf of that person and apologize to that person. If, however, the person was not aware that you were backbiting them, then how do you repay the right? You make dua for that person, you seek forgiveness for that person, and you mention good about that person. So if you, in your sitting, you are mentioning bad about another person, how do you apologize for this ghiba? You then mention good about that person, and you mention their strengths and their qualities, and you praise them, and you try to undo that violation which you did. And then the author said, وَيَجِبْ أَن يَتُوبَ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذَّمِ. And it is an obligation for upon a person to repent from every type of sin. وَبَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَاقِي. However, if a person repents from a sin and continues committing another sin, is that repentance accepted or not? So for example, a person is committing two different types of sins against Allah. He repents from one and he stops doing it and he's sorrowful over it and he makes a determination to never do that sin again. However, the second sin, he continues doing the sin. Is the repentance from the first sin accepted or not? The author said, وَبَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَاقِي. The author said that the sin which he repented from, that is accepted. And the sin which remains, it remains. Meaning the repentance remains that he has to seek repentance from that sin. However, him committing the second sin, it does not affect the tawbah from the first sin. We suffice with this. In the next lesson, we will begin going through the ayat and the ahadith which the author mentioned. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وبالله توفيق.